So we're beginning the Melacha of Tzad, which you might say doesn't come up that often, but there are many issues in Tzad. There's some Melachos which are more important than themselves. They present issues which are transcend all of the other Melachos as well. And Melacha of Tzad is... Well, that's also very important. Yeah, it comes up. Yeah, but we're going to discuss that, but there are some Yisodos in Tzad specifically which... our themes in other malachas as well. Let's deal with the local issues. In Tzad, the Mishnah says, quotes machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, about how far do I have to restrict the animal's movements to be considered Tzad. The opinion of Rabbi Yehuda is that if I am Tzad Tzvi Labayis, I take the Tzvi and I put him in a house and close the door, so that's I'm already Chai Mishum Tzad. The opinion of the Chachamim is, and this is a little bit unclear if this is more restrictive or less restrictive, but they say, no, Tzvi Legina Ulechatzer is Chayiv. Now, I would have thought that that is something which is more, is less restrictive. That's Ulechatzer, house, is presumably a little bit smaller. But that's not necessarily the Pshat. The Mishnah then quotes the third opinion, Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, which the Gemara explains is really, according to the Chachamim, just he's explaining the opinion of the Chachamim. He's further clarifying what they said, and he says, Kohak, this is the rule. Mechusar tzeda, if it still requires more catching, potter. She'ena mechusar tzeda chayiv. If it's not mechusar tzeda, it doesn't require any further catching, and we'll define what that means, then you're chayiv. So then it would come out that the opinion of the Chachamim is more restrictive than Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds, if I lock the tzvi even in a big house, I'm chayiv. And the opinion of the Chachamim is that, no, it has to be that it's not mechusar tzeda any further. We pass on like the Chachamim and like Rav Shimon ben Gamliel's explanation of the Chachamim. It depends on mechusar tzeda. The Gemara quotes, in explaining what's considered mechusar tzeda, quotes stira between a Mishnah and a Braisa, Maseches Beitza, regarding the beginning of the parak Ein Tzadin, which is in Beitza, whether or not you could be tzad from this type of chatzar, you can't be tzad from that type of chatzar, the stir and braises. So the Gemara says, in resolving the contradiction, that there's a difference, that they're talking about two different things. The Mishnah which says that you are not allowed, the Mishnah which says that you can take the animal is talking about where the animal is already nitzod, it's already catched, it's already caught. What is that case? So the Gemara says, "The mati go bechad shichya. I could catch it with taking one step. I don't have to run around the whole chatzar chasing after it. It's right here, within, you know, you don't have to." The Mishnah Berurah says, "Ritza achas. You know, one running, I guess, you could catch it. It's easily catchable. Or if it's such a small area that the walls would fall down, if the walls would fall down, they would all hit each other. I mean, there's not enough area that the walls space. I guess it depends how high your walls are." But the wall space is greater than the area of the room, so it's very small. So then that's already nitzo. Then I can take from there on yontif. But if it is too big, it's bigger than that, that's what the other Bryce is talking about, that I can't take the animal on yontif because that is not considered nitzo. And tzad, according to most Rishonim, is also on yontif. So that seems to be the shear. When you'd be chayiv for tzeda as well, what's called nitzod for yontif, where I can take it, would be this should parallel what's considered tzad on Shabbos to be chayiv, and that would be that if I put it in an area where I could catch it easily, either beritza achas or that the walls would fall down, then I should be chayiv. The Gemara in Beitza though says hey chidami, what does it mean mechusar tzeda? And the Gemara in Beitza says that it's talking about where I don't require, I don't have to say, go get the trap. And Rashi explains to me, I don't have to do tachbulos to catch it. You go over and you pick it up. You don't have to, corner it and block off this way and block off that way and get fancy traps. It's easily catchable. So the Gemara asks on that shear. But how could it be? But tiny golem, if you're trying to catch chickens, sometimes it could get, it's hard sometimes, you have to block it off, and you have to use sometimes tricks to catch chickens, but the Braisa says, and the Braisa quoted by the Gemara Beitza says that if a person catches a chicken on Shabbos, he's potter. But why? If I need tachbulas to catch it, it should be chayiv, because it's not already caught. So the Gemara there says in Beitz, a shiny tarnigolim. Chickens are different because they come back at night to their coop by themselves. And mizonosim alecha. You have to feed them. They're partially domesticated. Not totally domesticated. Partially domesticated in that. Partially submissive. They come back at night and they need me for food. So that sounds like, so therefore you're pater if you catch them. So Tosa says, yeah, pater aval aser. Still aser to catch them. But that seems to be my chokas HaRishonim, because the Mishnah later says in Shabbos, and Daf Kuf Zayin, that hatsad, if a person catches behemos shibur shusan, domesticated animals, for lack of a better, the birshuso, chai v'ov shibirshuso yipater, Kuf Zayin. It's a Mishnah on Kuf Zayin. And the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah argue about whether or not that's pater umutter or pater aval aser. Shulchan Aruch says that it's permissible to catch partially domesticated animals, meaning if they come back at night and they rely on me for food, they're not scavengers, so then I can catch them on Shabbos. And the Ramah argues, no, an animal that's b'shuso, it's partially domesticated, it's still us and midrabanan to catch them. You're not chayiv, because it's not the same as catching an animal which is totally running free, but it's us and midrabanan. But there are two exceptions to these rule, to this rule, in both directions. So we would assume like the Ramah, Ashkenazim, that it's us and midrabanan. However, the Shulchan Aruch says if it's morad, he quotes in the name of the Magen Mishnah, if it goes, you know, the animal is just rebelling, it's just, you know, it's fighting against you, it wants to escape, so then you would be chayiv if you catch it, even though it's a domesticated animal. But sometimes they get in, you know, some sort of rage, and now you want to calm it down and catch it, then you would be chayiv. And the other extreme is true too. The Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Achronim that if you have a paro or a sus, a cow or a horse, which don't run around, they just hang around. You don't have to catch them. You know, cow is just around, a docile animal. Or if you have a dog, which generally do run around more than a cow, but you've trained it so much that it's totally submissive. Whatever you tell it to do, it does. So then there's no tzeda at all. It's mutter. So it could cut in both ways. The general rule is something which comes back at night and requires me for food, relies on me for food, that's pater aval aser. Chayiv mishum tzeda, it's aser midrabanan, but that could have that could cut in both ways. If it's morad, you could be chayiv. If it's totally domesticated, it would even be mutter. Yeah. Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Gra and other Afra.
Just to clarify, so it matters what this specific animal is?
Right. So let's say you buy a dog. The first few weeks you have the dog, it might not even come back at night. Then right. You can be chayiv.
Right.
Then the dog knows to come back, but it won't. That's in revising you for food, but it won't. You'd say fetch, and it doesn't. So you could be chayiv. It's also midar abanan. And then if it already is totally submissive, it'd be mutter.
So not by like the, you know, like category type of animal.
Right. It's on every case every by case.
Now, it's totally submissive, but right now it's rebelling. Normally it's always
submissive. Or just tonight now it's rebelling, it's a different animal, right? Right. Again, so the Gemara in Shabbos says that I could catch it with one running. And the Gemara in Beitza says I don't require tricks to catch it. So Rashi says, yeah, it's two sides of the same coin. Rashi says in Beitza, it really means the same shear. Tosas in Beitza says something else. Tosas in Beitza says the Gemara in Beitza is referring to birds. It's talking about chickens and whatever. Birds, it depends on whether or not I require things to catch it. Require tricks. And it's talking about animals, so then it depends on whether or not I can catch it in one, you know, running, one lunge, I guess, to run. Problem is, though, the Rambam, this is an interesting Rambam, the Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos quotes the Shir in Hilchos Shabbos, and in Hilchos Yontif, in terms of taking an animal which is already caught, then it would be permissible, but to catch a new animal, you're not allowed to. The Rambam quotes the Shir from the Gemara in Beitza. So the Achronim are bothered with whatever is us there to catch should be the same as considered caught for Yontif. they're not allowed to do tzad on Yom Tov either. But the Rambam does not say that. In the Sefer, the Emek Bracha, Rabbi Param Talmud Viskarov, and Hilchas Yom Tov, he explains that perhaps the Rambam distinguishes and feels, or argues with the rest of the Rishonim, and feels that tzad is really mutter on Yom Tov. Why can I only take an animal that's already caught? Because otherwise it's muktzah. If I have a whole chicken coop, I wasn't planning on taking the chickens on Yom Tov, so I could catch a chicken to cook it on Yom Tov. Most Rishonim hold tzad is also on Yom Tov. The Rambam holds tzad is mutter on Yom Tov. Why can I take a chicken? It's muktzah. So in order to be considered mukhan for muktzah, that's one shear. In order to be considered caught on Shabbos for tzeidah, there's a different shear. So therefore the Rambam feels the shear in beitzah is not talking about tzeidah. The shear in beitzah is talking about mukhan for muktzah. That if I don't require tricks, that's already mukhan. If I do require tricks, then it's not mukhan. A side point. But the Achronim suggests, getting back to the Machlokesin Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda felt again that Tzeidah Yechayiv once I machnas it into the bias, and the Chachamim feel that we need a more restrictive shear. It's not enough that it's in the house. I have to be able to catch it immediately. It has to be in some restrictive area. Let's say there's a dog outside in the middle of the street, and I could catch it with one lunge. That doesn't mean it's already caught. It has to be in a restricted area, and I could catch it with one ritza. So the Achronim explained that perhaps the Machlokes in Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim goes to the heart of what Malachas Tzeidah is about. That according to Rabbi Yehuda, Malach of Tzad is all about taking away the chayrus of the animal. So as long as it's in my house, even though I can't necessarily get it in one ritza, it's not accessible to me, but I've taken away its chayrus. But according to the Chachamim, I have to not only take away its chayrus, but it has to be accessible to me. Chachamim, you need both, I think. It's not enough that it's accessible to me, otherwise a dog in the middle of the street, I should be allowed to take it if I could catch it in one thrust. I don't think they would say that either. It has to be in a restricted area. So number one, I have to take away its chayrus. And number two is that it has to be accessible to me. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, the whole malacha is just about taking away chayrus of the animal. This distinction, perhaps, unfortunately, whenever you do that, this distinction, whenever you make a machlokas tanoim, an important machlokas inside, it seems to be a machlokas rishonim, but where does it seem to be a machlokas rishonim? Because the Mishnah quoted machlokas in Rav Meir and the Chachamim about a different point. Rav Meir feels that you're only chayv, that you're chayv mishum tzad on any animal, whether it's dark or litzod, whether it's yesh b'mino litzod, whether people catch these type of bugs or animals or birds or whatever. Or the same b'mino nitzod. And the Chachamim hold, no, you're only chayv mishum tzad if it's yesh b'mino nitzod. But either way, it's asum d'rabbanan. We pass on like the Chachamim, that in order to be chayv, it has to be yesh b'mino nitzod. But even if it's ain't b'mino nitzod, it's still asum d'rabbanan. So what would you say about catching flies? So catching flies, we would assume, is aim. People don't generally catch flies to use them for any, whatever. People, I don't think that's one of the generally, caught animals. You don't find it in a pet store. So that's, I would think, ain't b'mino nitzod. But it's still asa midrabbanon. So the Torah says to catch flies in a box would be asa midrabbanon. But is it asa midrabbanon or is it mutter? So the Baal HaTrumah held that it's asa midrabbanon to catch flies in a box, or to catch a fly in a box. And the Torah argues, and he says, no, because when I open the box, I can't catch it anywhere. I open the box, it's going to fly out. So even if I catch the fly in the box, what have I really done? It's just going to fly out. And there are more quotes to opinions about that. We assume that we're machmir. Even though I can't catch it with my hand, if I put it in a box, I restricted its area. It's asa midrabbanan. So the Chazon Ish explains, what is that machlok that we're showing him about between the Torah and the Baal HaTrumah? So the Chazon Ish explains that if it's about restricting its chayrus, so I've done that in the box. But if I also need it to be accessible to me, so I have it, it's not accessible to me because I can't take it, I can't catch it. So from the fact that we're machmir that machlokes rishonim, maybe you see that it's all just about chayrus. The problem is that's like what we said for Rabbi Yehuda. As long as I put it in a big house, even though I can run upstairs, downstairs, the basement, I'm chayim. Nonetheless, that could also be, if it's not the machlokes hatanoim, it could be a machlokes harishonim. This that sif in Shulchan Aruch is famous not because of this chakira. It's famous because on that sif in Shulchan Aruch, the Taz has a famous comment. The Taz there says that, let's say I open the box up, there's a bunch of flies in a box, and I open the box up and all the flies fly out. So the Taz says you could close the box and you don't have to check to make sure that there's no extra, you know, leftover lazy fly, didn't take the opportunity to jump out. You don't have to check for that. And the Bir Halacha explains here why don't you have to check. Because it's a dovish and a miskaven. Even if there is a fly in the box, when I close the box, I don't intend to catch the fly. So it's a dovish and a miskaven. So Bir Halacha asks, though, but what do you mean? It's not a if there is a fly, it's a psigreshe that the fly will get caught in the box. So the Bir Halacha says that you see from the Taz that the Taz felt that not only is dovish and a miskaven mutar on Shabbos, even a suffix psigreshe is mutar on Shabbos. What's an example of a suffix psikreshe? Either there is a fly in the box, or there's no fly in the box. I don't know if there's a fly in the box or not. If there is, I will for sure catch it. So that's called a suffix psikreshe. That's the same as we would assume is the same as a davish and a miskaven. Or let's say a person has a refrigerator and he forgot if he took out the light bulb. He doesn't know if his wife took out the light bulb, she didn't take out the light bulb, whether she taped down the thing or not. So can he open the refrigerator or not? So we would assume that's a, maybe it's even better than asking his wife, is he could open the thing. It's a davish and a miskaven. Aye, if it's on, it's for sure going to turn on. If it's, you know, she didn't tape it, it's for sure going to turn on. Okay, it's a suffix psikreshe. Meaning a davish and, because the question is every davish and miskaven is really suffix segresha. Either it's going to happen or it's not going to happen. That's what we point that from Russia wise. Right. So you're saying the difference is whether you could check it out easily. Interesting. So is this called check the light you couldn't figure out easily? So that would be a suffix segresha, not a davish and miskaven.
No, you can't check it out.
Check it out.
But it's something which is easily discernible as opposed to, let's say, dragging a bench along the ground. Is it going to make a charitz? Is it not going to make a charitz? So that's a davish and a miskaven. So that depends on a lot of factors. Depends on the ground, depends on the weight of the bench, depends on the weather, I guess. I don't know. That's a big problem with suffix segresha. Isn't every davish and a miskaven really just a suffix? Maybe that's why the Taz felt were mekel. Every davish and a miskaven is really a suffix segresha. By science, scientific science could tell you whether it's going to happen or it's not going to happen. Probabilities. All right, yeah.
Isn't there a difference being one you're saying easy to know or can know?
That's what Effie's pointing out. Every davish and miskaven, I don't want to get involved in this discussion, but every davish and miskaven, you can really figure out if you would, you know, test the weight of the bench and test the hardness of the ground and know the wind and know the composite of whatever the soil is made of, you can figure out whether it's going to make a charitz or not. Yeah, the Gemara considers that a davish and miskaven. Why is it davish and miskaven? You can figure out whether it's going to make a charitz. So it's really a suffix psikreshe. So why isn't every davish and miskaven a suffix psikreshe? So what he's saying is that if it's something that you could just look and figure out if it's there, that's a suffix segregation. If it's something that requires all fancy calculations, that's a davish and a miskaven.
But to me, in the fridge, like, you can't.
Practically now, in order to figure out, but it's something which is easily figure out.
Is halakhically uneasy to be able to figure out?
Well, I don't know. I think this is an open question. I think it's something which is, why isn't every davish and a miskaven a suffix segregation?
We have to go by like the, you know, like the science, like the.
So Weiss says we don't go by the science. Rabbi Weiss in that article about the baby wipes, he said that how come every time you squeeze it when you use the baby wipes, like the science will tell you every time you use it water will get squeezed out. So he said we don't go based on what appears to us, and appears to us is that it's a davish and a miskave, not a suffix segregation. This has a million applications. Suffix segregation. Rabbi Kiva Eger on his Hagos Yeridaya and Hilchos Basa B'Chalav is talking about stirring a pot or cooking with a pot that Nachri is put food into. So he says you're allowed to cook that pot. Why are you allowed to cook the pot? Maybe there's basa, maybe there's chalav in it, and not only is basa b'chalav basa to eat, it's also to cook. So don't I have to be afraid that I'm cooking basa b'chalav? So Rabbi Kiva Eger says that would be a suffix segregation. and Rabbi Akiva Eiger feels that it's Osir against the Taz. But I think the minhag is to be make like the Taz, that a suffix segregation is mutter, yeah. He's afraid that when you cook the pot, you have to be afraid that there's basar and challah in. Why? It's a suffix segregation. I don't intend to do that. It's a suffix segregation. So he assumes a suffix segregation is Osir. Could you have a suffix that writes al chumra? Machok Zapos can be a suffix that writes al chumra.
But any suffix can see us,
because the suffix is great. If you don't have kavana for it, let's say I have kavana for it, that's not a davashen miskami. I mean, if I hope the light turns on when I open the refrigerator, that's a davar miskami.
So, why is the case of the pot a suffix?
I don't know if there's basar and chalav in it, and he doesn't intend to cook the basar and chalav. He just intends to stoke the pot. Nonetheless, it's osir because we're afraid that there's basar and chalav there. Yeah.
What's the difference between secretion and suffix secretion as far as percentage expectation? Meaning, if it's
90%. Yeah, it's an open discussion. Let's say it's rov. It's rov is going to happen. So that's the Rav Avadia has a discussion about that. What if it's rov going to happen? So I don't think even if. Whatever. I think unless it's a Rov Karav Avada, we assume it's a Davar Shein Miskami.
What's Rov Karav Avada?
You know, whatever Rov, 99%, 98%. But I think that's somewhat of an open question. I don't think that there's a consensus about that issue. That also comes up all the time. So he said, Kol She'ein B'min Onitzot is at least Asim Midar Abanan. It's not the Derech to catch it, but it's still Asim Midar Abanan. What about catching people? So that asks me the Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, you're running after your kid, you can catch the kid. So the Gemara says in Menachos, that if Nafal Tina Kuyam, a baby falls into the river, and there's a guy who's fishing, a Jewish guy is fishing on Shabbos, and he's trying to catch fish. So if he catches fish, they announce, everybody please be on Amber Alert, look out for the baby that fell into the river. So he's fishing there anyway, and he catches fish, Sakhaev. So the Gemara says, then he's chayv. He's trying to catch fish, and he caught fish, he's chayv. What if he's trying to catch fish and he pulls out the baby? And fish. So that's machlokes in Rabba and Rava. Rabba's opinion is that where he's putter, because we go buster ma'isav. He did a ma'isav hatzalos nefoshes. How could it be chayv? So he's putter. Rava holds buster machshavto. He wanted to catch fish. He caught fish. The fact that he pulled out the baby too is irrelevant. We go buster machshava. The Tosas there explains, according to Rabbi, why am I putter that we go buster myself? She says, since I'm putter on the tinok, I'm putter on the dagim too. That's what Tosas says. So the Adnei Nezah is medayik from Tosas. What do you mean putter on the tinok? The malach of tzad is not chayiv to, is not shayach to the tinok. So the Adnei Nezah says, you see from here, tzad could apply to people. Just I'm putter because it's pikuach nefesh. So since I'm pater on the tino, because of Bikuach Nefesh, I'm pater on the dog, because they're both in the same parasha of Tzad. And if you're into these things, in the back of the Franco Rambam, and he quotes a Sefer HaKovetz, who also says, same shot, that you're pater on the tino, even though Tzad would have applied to the tino, you're pater because of Bikuach Nefesh. However, it doesn't sound like that in Shulchan Aruch. In Shulchan Aruch, they quote from the Rambam that, based on the Pashuk of Lo Sevaru Eish, that we ain't done in Din B'Shabbos. We're not, we don't give punishments on Shabbos. Ain't onshin B'Shabbos. So, but let's say the guy is going to run away. We don't give punishments on Shabbos. So the Ramah says, therefore, if a guy, let's say, gets jail time as a punishment, you can't first put him in jail on Shabbos. Because you're not allowed to give punishments on Shabbos. It's an extension of ain't done in din b'Shabbos. The Mishnah Berurah quotes from Rabbi Akiva Eiger that comes up, this used to come up, that the husband is running away, he's going to be ma'agin his wife. So we're afraid he's going to leave her in Aguna so we can catch him on Shabbos. Just so he shouldn't run away. Because we're not catching him to catch him, we're catching him so he shouldn't run away. Anyway, it sounds like that there's no Isser of Tzad b'Shabbos. Otherwise, it shouldn't be because of Ain Onshin b'Shabbos, Ain Donin Din b'Shabbos, that you can't catch a person. It should be because that there's an Isser of Tzad b'Shabbos. But it doesn't say that. So the Shmir Shabbos quotes from Shlomo Zalman, who explains He says, why is there no tzad by people in general on Shabbos? So he says, because people in general, let's say a guy's running away from the police. He's not running away from humanity. He's running away from these people. But he's running to be with other people. So he says, then there's no tzad. It's not that I'm running away from everybody, that I want to be by myself. I'm running away from you. So that's why there's no tzad. He says, but if you have a shota, let's say a person is, you know, mentally imbalanced and wants to be by himself at all times, and if he sees other people, he freaks out. So to catch him, he says, would be chayv mishum tzad. Because he wants to be by himself. Why should it depend on what he thinks, what he wants? So I think that that goes to the heart of what tzad is about. If tzad is about, at least, I think it's at least partially about taking away his chayrus. So if part of his chayrus is defined by being by myself and you're taking that away because you're making me be with other people, that's tzad. But if the pshat is that I want to be with other people, my chayrus involves being with other people. I'm free when I'm with other people. Just not you. Not the police. So then it's not, I'm not taking away his chayrus by bringing him to me. Similarly, Rav Shlomo Zalman says that the tinok should not be considered tzad. The tinok that's drowning in the river should not be considered tzad, because whenever it's for the benefit of the tinok, whenever it's for the benefit of the captive that I'm taking him capture, that's not called captivity. I'm doing you a favor. So he says if you have a dog, let's say, which is drowning in the river, so to save the dog would not be tzad. And even though I'm now holding the dog, because I'm doing it for the benefit of the dog. Anything that the captee would have wanted is not considered being captive. Why, again? Because I think that goes to the, again, tzad is about taking away chayrus. It's probably also about bringing it to me, but a first step is taking away chayrus. If it's for the benefit of the captive, then that's not called taking away chayrus, it's called saving. Anyway. That's the story of capturing people, yeah.
How does that work with the kid? Dog wants to run away from you but wants to be with other people, it would still be sad.
Right. I don't think its freedom is defined by being. Right. Okay. I don't think that paradigm would extend to the dogs. That formulation.
From the fact it doesn't work for the dog, why does it work for the kid? So, I mean, from the Akuna, the husband running away.
Right, so he's saying, we're not taking away his chayrus, because either way he wanted to be with people, he just didn't want to be with me. No, I think if you lock a person in it, right, no. Interesting, I don't know. Interesting, I think about it.
Also, what about Eim Amino Nitzah?
It's still Asamid Rabbanon.
Right, so then the whole discussion is Amid Rabbanon.
Right.
When we say Bogus Rabbanon, meaning it's, why is it Pater? It's Pater because...
I would have said people is right, it's just not in the parish of Tzad, but...
I think it's
an odd thing to suggest. But Shlomo Zalman, but I think the only application it might have is by a deranged person who wants to be by himself. You shouldn't.
I'm saying, so Gazer Rabbanan in that case? Because again, we're only talking to Rabbanan.
That's what they say. I don't know. One could have made your argument. I think it's a valid argument. I don't know. The Gemara says in Shabbos, in a few places, that kol piturei Shabbos are pato lavar aser, except for three examples. Generally, pato means pato lavar aser, except for three examples. One of those examples is hatzad nocha shelo yishachenu. If a snake is chasing after you to bite you, and you capture it, so you're pato. And it's not only pato lavar aser, it's pato umuter. It's permissible. Why should it be pato, first of all? Snakes are sold in the pet store. Why is it pater? It's yesh b'mino nitzon. So the Gemara explains that this is according to the opinion of Reb Shimon, that malacha she'in tzrich l'gufa is pater. I don't need the snake for any constructive purpose. I don't want it to bite me. Malacha she'in tzrich l'gufa is that we assume is still asa midra rabbanon. So he said, b'makom tzad o'gazu bei rabbanon. The thing is going to bite me. So it's on asa midra rabbanon, but makom tzad o'gazu bei rabbanon. Tosus there on that Gemara and Shabbos asks, but Shmuel paskins like Rabbi Yehuda in other places. That Malach Hashem Tzichu L'Guf is Chayiv. So how can he, and this is all, I'm sorry, this is all a statement from Shmuel, that Kol Peturei Shabbos, Pato Vaser, except for these three, statement of Shmuel. So Shmuel doesn't pass like Reb Shimon. So Tosa says his answer. But the problem is more acute than the Rambam. The Rambam quotes both halachas. He quotes that Atzad Nacha Shaloi Shachenu is mutter, but he passes more Kashen Tzichel the Gufa is Chayiv. How could it be? So the Bi'alacha says that Atzad Nachash, if a person, people, why do people catch snakes in general? I guess this was before the days that people had snakes as pets. So Bi'alacha says people only catch pets, so they shouldn't bite them. That's why they're caught. That's the whole institution of snake catchers. So he says, so then that's not called mino nitzod. Yesh mino nitzod means for a constructive purpose. If the only reason people catch them in general, so they shouldn't bite you, that's called ein b'mino nitzod. So that's why the Rambam feels, even though the Gemara says it's based on Reb Shimon, the Malachin, Tzichel, the Gufa, Pater, the Rambam passed like both for a different reason. Because it's ein b'mino nitzod. The Magen Mishnah says a different answer. The Magen Mishnah says to the Rambam, because a person is so involved in saving himself that he's misasek in the tzedah. He just is trying to get away from the snake. Doesn't mean to do anything. It's like misasek on something. I'm not exactly sure what that means. That's why the Bir Halacha gives his own answer. Reb Chaim on that Rambam has a long piece, which is a very complicated piece. Reb Chaim says he thinks that the Rambam feels your pater not because it's Malach Shein Tzichel the Gufa, even though that's what it says in the Gemara. The Rambam feels your pater because it's a Davar She'enu Miskaven. And this is where the line gets blurred between Davar She'enu Miskaven and Malach Shein Tzichel the Gufa. Thinks the Rambam feels it's a davar she'enu miskaven. Okay, but it's a psik reishe. If I catch the snake, it's going to be a psik reishe. And the Rambam feels a psik reishe. The lo nichole, I can't use the thing that I'm. The psik reishe is not serving a constructive purpose. So psik reishe, the lo nichole is mutter. It's not because of Malach She'enu Tzichel the Gufa, it's because of psik reishe. So the Chazonish and the Gilyonos in the back of Reb Chaim and the Stipel of both Asher and Reb Chaim. But it's not a Malach Hashem Tzichel Gufa. Malach Hashem Tzichel, it's not a Davar She'enu Miskaven. Davar She'enu Miskaven means I'm doing Pu'ula A. Pu'ula B might result or might not result. And if it for sure result, it's a psik reshe. If all I had in mind was for A, B might or might not result. If it for sure will result, but I didn't have a mind for B, that's a psik reshe. Malach Hashem Tzichel Gufa means I have my mind for Pu'ula A. Pu'ula B will for sure happen. Or I have a mind for Pu'ula A, but not for the purpose, not for the intended purpose, a constructive purpose. So here I have a mind for this Pu'ula. It's not that this is a secondary action which is might or might not happen. This is what I have in mind to do, just not for that purpose. So that's a Malach Hashem Tzichel the Gufa. That's not a Davar She'enu Miskaven. So in the Sefer Yevul HaYovlos, the Stipler starts the answer, but it doesn't go 100 way, all the way. It's every Yevul HaYovos, which was put out on the anniversary of the 100th anniversary of the yeshiva. So there's an article there by Rabbi Yitzchak Ginsburg. He used to be a Rosh Yeshiva here. And Rabbi Yitzchak Ginsburg there explains that perhaps what the Rambam means is that it's a Davar She'enu Miskaven, means that he doesn't have the proper kavana for the malacha. Going back to what we started with, what is the Malacha of Tzad all about? If the Malacha of Tzad is all about taking away the chayrus of the animal, or is the Malacha of Tzad more than just taking away the chayrus of the animal? I have to make it accessible to me. So he says, perhaps Tzad is one of those Malachos where the Kavana plays a central role. If you have Kavana for the Malacha, then that's Tzad. If I don't have the proper Kavana when I do the Malacha, that's not Tzad at all. Snapshot that's Malacha Shein Tzichel Gufa. It's one of those categories of malachos where it's just, that's not the malacha at all. We had a few malachos like that. Right, but usually by destructive malachos. But in Ma'amir too, we had a few malachos where the Kavana plays a very central role in the malacha. So he suggests, the Rambam feels, that Kavana by Tzad is crucial. If you have Kavana to make it accessible to me, to first take away the Chayrus, and B, make it accessible to me, then you're Chayv. If I don't have Kavana to take away its chayrus and make it accessible to me, then it's not tzad at all. It's mutter. So the Rambam feels is that when the guy is trying to catch the snake, So that's a davar she'eino miskaven. What do you mean a davar she'eino miskaven? It means I don't have kavana for the malacha. The fact. So what is it? But it's a psik reishe that it will become accessible to me. I have kavana just so it shouldn't bite me. So we would have said it's malacha she'eino tzicha gufa. You're doing tzad without the proper, you don't have a proper intent. So what he's saying is that no, intent is crucial here. If you don't have the intent, you have no malacha. Elamai, it's a psik reishe. You will be accessible to you. Even though that's not what you had in mind, it will be accessible to you. Okay, that's a psik reishe the lo nichole. Doesn't bet in fact, I don't intend for that result. And the Rambam feels psik reishe the lo nichole is mutter. But there's a big chiddush that kavana would, according to the Rambam, that could be what he's driving at, that kavana for tzad plays a central role. If you don't have kavana, so then you have no malacha at all. Yeah. He's trying to play in the Reb Chaim. Why is it a davar she'eino miskaven and not a malacha she'eino tzicha gufa?
And also, isn't, you just take the class against the Sabresha, chopping up the head of the chicken for twice.
Right.
One could have construed that as malacha she'eino tzicha gufa. I mean, there are, what two rules are there? You're just chopping up the head of the chicken.
A psik reishe, the onichue, is very similar to malacha she'eino tzicha gufa.
Right. So
agreed.
So does the Chazon Ish say we're giving you a short line?
Between a psik.
In classic case of psik ratio, it sounds very much like chopping up the chicken is only one
pula. Right. There is a good answer to that. I'm just getting myself a little bit confused. We'll talk about it after. There's a good answer to that. But that is a problem. I don't think that's a. Yeah. You want to say that? Yeah.
You just talking about the meat store.
That's what I'm making something up. I think that's just an easy, tangible way of figuring out what is Bimino Nitzo. But I think that that's a fair assumption. No, I think if it's if it's not found in Petco, the big pet stores, stuff that. I'm not sure. Why isn't that now? But yes, but me no need to. Either way, it's not something they're about on. But they do stuff with him.
No, I'm not saying that the RN. I'm saying
I don't know
the fact that they're like some years, even if it's a certain percentage, like 1%, 0.05% population, that makes it
please use the snake skins for.
Use it for other things. I don't think ants are Bimino Nitzo. Nobody catches. I don't think so. Anyway. Yeah, so the Gemara says you could catch a snake so that it shouldn't bite you. Why? It's a malacha shein tzricha l'gufa. This is the Pashup Shah. Leaving out the Rambam. It's a malacha shein tzricha l'gufa. Even though malacha shein tzricha l'gufa is asa mid rabbanon, they were machmir b'makom tzar. So therefore the Mishnah says in Shabbos, kofin ka'ira, a person can take a cup and put it over an akrav, a scorpion, so that it should not bite you. And this would be the heter to cover bee, to catch bees, let's say, on if a person wants to be so daring as to catch a bee in sukkahs, if it's bothering the people in the sukkah. So that would be malach shein tzich l'gufa, that's mutter b'makom tzar. Then the Gemara extends this head. And the Gemara says, Lav Dafka, that you can turn over the pot, you can even kill it. But then the Gemara limits that. The Gemara says, when is that permissible? If it's Memes bin Shichoso, if it's poisonous, then you could kill it under all circumstances. You could either catch it or you could kill it. If it's not Memes bin Shichoso, let's say a bee, so you can't kill it unless it's running after you. If it's running after you, then you can. Why? Again, it's a malacha shein tzricha l'gufa, killing this thing so it shouldn't bite me. It's running after me and it's going to bite me. So even though it's not going to kill me, it's a malacha shein tzricha l'gufa, it's a makom tzar. So malacha shein tzricha l'gufa will be mutter b'makom tzar. But even, or, then the Gemara comes, says another Chiddush, even if it's not running after me, if I just step on it, lefituma, I'm walking around, oh, boom, stepped on it, oh, what do you know? I stepped on it, and it's something that bites, so again, it's malach shein tzricha l'gufa, And we should have really been making a makom tsar, because I'm afraid it's going to bite me. But I don't have to wait for it to run after me. I step on it with fitumo. And that's all. This is all quoted in Shulchan Aruch. This is only relevant for things that bite. Mordechai quotes in the Benu Tam that even a parush, even other things, which don't bite, they're just annoying. A fly keeps, you know, they're still, they go in your ears and they wake you up and everything. A fly is just totally annoying. So the Mordechai quotes from Rabbeinu Tam that we should have been mekel there as well. Why? It's melech shein tzricha legufa, and it's bothering me. It's melech tzar. A person has roaches in their apartment, so it's melech to kill the roach. It's melech shein tzricha legufa. I'm not using the roach for anything, and it's disgusting. It's bothering, especially not you. It's not bothering other people around. Why for something? So then, should have been melech shein tzricha legufa, which is mutter b'melech tzar. But the Beis Yosef quotes the Rabbeinu Tam and disagrees. It says no, only if it's no sheikh or mazik. Either it bites or mazik something, then it's mutter. Otherwise, we don't consider that b'makom tzar. I don't know. We're just not mekel. Might be makom tzar, but it's not the threshold of makom tzar that we would be mekel. And the Mishnah Berurah quotes that. So the Mishnah Berurah is machmir on this. The Birkei Yosef quotes from the is medayik in the language of the Beis Yosef that it sounds like that's only a chumrah. Meikar adin, the Rabbeinu Tam is right. It's just a chumrah. So therefore, he quotes from the Shvus Yaakov, the Achronim quotes from the Shvus Yaakov, that he was mekel to put, if you have one of these, let's say a roach in your apartment, it's bothering people in the apartment, so you can sprinkle poison around the roach. The roach will later walk onto the poison and kill himself. So that's grumma. So he says, this whole thing is a chumrah. And if you pile on grumma too, so we don't have to be machmer that far. Grumma is generally mutar on Shabbos, it's only been makom hefsid. So here, even though there's no hefsid, but... you don't have to be pile on the chumras. The Shmir Shabbos also is mekel that if it's really bothering someone around there, you need both. You need that it's really bothering someone, and it's grumma, then you could sprinkle poison around the bothersome insect. Yeah. I think it should be marching to the gufa. But sometimes people enjoy it, so then there's no heter in that. But marching to the gufa, and if it's really bothering the people, I think it's better you could try and put away everything so you don't get involved. But marching to the gufa, makom tzar lo goes be rabbanon. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. It's not. I have a different thing, but let's say you have some women are extremely sensitive to bugs. Extremely sensitive to bugs. If there's a roach, that's it. They're out of the apartment. Or, if there's other types of spiders, it's terrible. So, what do you do on Shabbos? A huge, tarantula-looking spider crawls up, into the middle of the dining room. What do you do about that on Shabbos? So, I thought, if we assume like the Birkei Yosef, so... this is bothering this person tremendously. So that should be a mokshin to who really the Rabbeinu Tam is right. The Beis Yosef was machmer chumra. That we don't treat so regular person. So regular tsar, I also don't like spiders around, but it doesn't bother me. It doesn't, debilitate me, the fact that there's a spider in the dining room, but some people it does. So then, not only should that be called b'makom tsar, they have a chol shein bo sakana. A woman runs out of the apartment, won't go back for the end of Shabbos till that roach is gone. She's a chol shein bo sakana. She can't function normally. She won't go into the dining room. That's it. Goodbye. Okay? She's a chol hashem b'sakana. So melach hashem tzricha legufa, we generally assume is mutter for a chol hashem b'sakana. Because it's only derabanan. So I think if a person is so paralyzed of fear from this bug, even though it doesn't bite, it doesn't do anything dangerous, but they can't function normally with the roaches crawling all over the place, it'd be permissible to kill the roach too. Because it's melach hashem tzricha legufa, which is mutter for a chol hashem b'sakana. And shalom b'ayis.
Different type of not-functioning.
Why? She can't go into the room. We don't understand it. I'm just telling you, we don't understand it, but there is a certain psychology out there that, to us, it seems ridiculous, but it's there. It's like a person, they're paralyzed.
No, I understand, but they're paralyzed to the extent of going into that room, not paralyzed if they're in another room.
So if I can't do what I normally do, I say I can't lift up my arm, and I normally am able to lift up my arm, even though I can go to shul and daven three times, there's still a chol hashem b'zakana. I can't lift up my arm.
There, you're not going to be able to lift up your arm no matter where you are, no matter what. You're not going to be
if she runs out of the house, she's staying outside for the rest of Shabbos. She's living in the hallway in the apartment building. So that's a chol hashem b'zakana.
The difference between the gufa where in the hallway she wouldn't be able to raise her arm versus here in the hallway she's in the
It's here. It is begufo. It's berosho. That's what I think. Yeah.
Only because we also read a counter line, or
I think it helps. I would have said it otherwise, but I think it helps. I think that's a better tzad. One last issue for today is that the Mishnah says in Shabbos at the beginning of Ein Tzadin, in the beginning of Shmona Shvatim, that Hatzad or Achovel Beches Shvatim is Chayiv, and the eight Shvatim is Chayiv. The other ones, hachovel behen is pater because they don't have the special skin which collects the blood collects underneath. But hatzadon is chayiv. If you catch them, any type of bug you catch it, you're chayiv. If it's yesh b'mino nitzo. So Gemara says hachovel behen is pater. If you kill it, you're chayiv. It's just hachovel because the blood doesn't collect underneath the skin. So again, if you kill anything or trap any type of animal, a bug, assuming it's yesh b'mino nitzo, you'd be chayiv. So the Gemara says, who is that according to the opinion of? That's the opinion of Rebbe Lazar. That a hore kina, the person who kills a lice, is kahore gemel, it's like he killed a camel. However, the Rabbanan disagree, and the Rabbanan hold that it's permissible to kill it and permissible to trap the kina. Potter, you're not chayiv with potter. Someone says, no, maybe even the Rabbanan only said that by kina. Why should lice be different? Because ain't no parva rava. Kina do not sexually reproduce. They're no reproductive. They don't reproduce, they just appear. Not sexual, asexual, but they just appear. They don't reproduce. Ain't no parva rava. But everything else, the other insects, besides the eight, which are parva rava, maybe even the Rabbanan would say you should be chayiv. And that's how we pass in Shulchan Aruch, that it's mutter to kill a kina, I think it's us and the Rabbanan, or mutter to kill a kina, or trap a kina, because it ain't no parva rava, it doesn't reproduce. And so it used to be, before the Encyclopedia Talmudit, there was an older encyclopedia called the Pachad Yitzchak. In the encyclopedia, the Pachad Yitzchak, he quotes a machlokes between, I guess we call it Achronim, whether or not this sif in Shulchan Aruch should apply, because we know now, based on modern science, that they do reproduce. It appeared to them that they didn't reproduce, because they just popped out of nowhere. But we know, based on scientific advancement, that everything reproduces. They don't just spontaneous generated, things don't just appear. So some said we should be machmir, that you're not allowed to kill the kina on Shabbos. But then he quotes some others who disagreed, that was the Masorah the Chazal had. It doesn't make a difference whether or not, whatever the scientists say. And even modern day poskim, some say one way, some say the other way. We have to be machmir not to kill the kina, we're not machmir not to kill the kina. Should we follow the Shulchan Aruch, or should we be more machmir? Huh. Interesting. So it should apply today. Interesting. How do we understand? There's a one explanation to understand the materium. I guess that is. It's reproductive with a host, without a host. I'm not aware of that. Well, with a host, without a host. I don't know what that means. But within the das of the materium, how do we understand that there's still matter? We know now that it is parva rava. So Rabbi Dessler in the Michtav Melio explains that really all of the halachos and shas were misora, were halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. And Chazal just attached reasons to the halachos. If the reason ceases to apply, still the halacha applies, doesn't make a difference. That was the misora. We had all the halachos are halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. But anyone who's familiar with the Rambam in his Hagdama to the Pirush Mishnayos, the Rambam says that's a machlok between the Rambam's machlok between himself and the Gaonim. Are all the halachos in the Torah? The Gaonim felt all the halachos in the Torah are halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. And the Chachamim are just attributing it. The Yud Gimel Midos just find places in Tanakh where to put these halachos. But really, everything was halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. And the Rambam disagrees. The Rambam thinks everything is not halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. We derive halachos. So if we derive halachos, why shouldn't it be that since we know now that it's not part of a rava, it should be usher to kill the kina on Shabbos? How could some continue to say that it is mutter to kill the kina on Shabbos? So in the sefer by Dr. Rabbi Leo Levy called The Science of Torah, where I think he says the classical answer to this question. And the same is found that Rabbi Nevinsol has a haskama to the sefer called Hishtanus Hatvayim Bahalacha, Rabbi Gutel. So he has a haskama for Rabbi Nevinsol, where Rabbi Nevinsol quotes from Rishon Mazalman the following, that in halacha we go based on what appears to us, not what happens in Mitzius, what appears to us. For example, they quote the famous Shuvah for Moshe, a person was in figuring out if it's tefillin or kosher or not. So he wants to know if they're the Rosh, the Shal Rosh is Beribua. So he asked Moshe, should he use a microscope to figure out if it's Beribua or not? So Moshe said, no. In Halakha, we go based on what appears to us. If it appears to us that it's Beribua, even though if you would measure it, nothing was a perfect square, because it's impossible to have that. But even so, he says, you don't have to use a microscope. Whatever is Beribua that appears to us, that's Beribua. Or the Chayyadim, let's just finish and then we'll get to that. The Chayyadim and the Aruch HaShulchan say that a person is allowed to drink something even though they know there's bacteria in there, which is eating bacteria. Why? Because I can't see it. It's not a bug. Even though there could be a bug there which I can't see, it doesn't make a difference. If I can't see it, it's not there. Al pi halacha. So al pi halacha too, say Rosh HaMazam and Rabbi Leo Levy, that we should go based on what appears to us. It appears to us that the bugs pop out of nowhere. The lice come out of nowhere. Even though we know that if you would isolate them, they wouldn't reproduce. Still, we go based on what appears to us. Therefore, some say you could continue to kill the kina on Shabbos because that's the way it appears to us, that it's ain't no parva rava. And others disagree and say, no, well, now that we know it is parva rava, you can't kill it. That's on one level easier to understand. Okay, yeah.